All right, 2019, and perhaps some of you are like me. You have made some New Year's resolutions. Anyone? If you haven't, or if you're still making them, let me give you some guidance, okay? Here is God's guaranteed plan for success. Pursue weakness if you want to be strong. Always choose to be last if you want to be first. Be a servant to others if you want to be a leader. Be humble if you want to be exalted. Give generously to the needy, and then you'll have true treasures on the new earth. Seek to lose your life, to kill all your self-centeredness, for only then will you discover your best life in Christ. If any of those made your goal list for 2019, today we begin a new series called A Transformation. It will run, if the Spirit so leads, until Holy Week. And in this series, we're going to explore the what, the why, and the how to experience supernatural transformation. Anybody hunger for that? Father God's New Year's resolution for you is nothing short of glory. Christ, through the work of God's Spirit, is committed, more committed than we are, to transforming us into our full glory as beloved and royal sons and daughters of God, and He will not quit and He will not fail. This year, I'm asking you, don't settle for just getting by. Don't expect to just survive. In Christ, you can experience transformation from glory to glory to glory. Let us pray. Father, I'm asking as the God anointed and appointed shepherd of these dear saints that you would use your word today through this humble hunk of clay to be a channel, to be an instrument, to be a conduit of the power, the transforming, ennobling power of your word. I pray for the hearers of this message that you would right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, move into their heart and move away clutter, move away hardness, move away thorns, so that all that is left is good soil that receives the word of God and it bears fruit 100-fold in their life. I invite you to take a minute and surrender to the work of the Spirit through God's word. So do you ever wonder, I sure do, why some Christ followers just seem to be more steady in how they continually grow in their faith and in their character, and then some seem to grow very little? Or, like myself, have you ever been frustrated by the seeming slowness of your own transformation? Anybody? Our main Bible passage is Mark 4, 1 through 20. So please turn there. Always, always better to read along. So Mark, Gospel of Mark, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, chapter 4, beginning in 1. Familiar parable, different seeds, different soils, different responses. And I posit that this parable tells us, reveals to us, how it is that people respond differently to the gospel, of course, but also how Christians respond differently to the word of God in different seasons of their life. So I'm asking, I'm praying, I'm hoping that the Spirit of God will use this word to convict you. Is there any way that you're, the soul of your heart as you begin a new year is hardened, cluttered, or thorny? And let the Spirit of God this day, begin this day, to weed and feed your soul. Hear now the word of God. And he, Christ, so just imagine there, you're there. Okay, so there's Christ, the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching by the sea. Large crowd. So here you are. You're part of the crowd. You rush to the front because you want to hear Jesus. He's on the sea. He's teaching, and you're listening. You're part of the crowd. Jesus is teaching. Got it? Got the image? And he got into a boat because the crowd was so big, and he sat on the sea. So now Jesus in the boat. You're sitting there by the crowd. And he's teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, he's saying right now to you, you're listening to the parable, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It immediately sprung up, but since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds, notice the difference, seed on the rocky ground, seed on the thorns, seed on the road, but seeds, plural, fell into the good soil. And it produced grain growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And Christ said, let him, she who has ears, let him hear. Now here's the thing. Christ rarely explained his parables because he wanted to leave them out there for mystery and interpretation according to the Spirit of God. But this one is so core, so foundational to our walk in, as Christ followers, he explains it very clearly to us. Beginning in verse 14. Christ says, the sower sows the word, referring to God's word in the gospel. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Then there are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, but then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And then thirdly, says Christ, others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, cares, deceitfulness, and desires, enter in, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The ennobling word of God. So here's the historical setting. It's not in the Gospels, there's always two settings. There's the setting that they're talking about and then the setting in which it was written. So you have to take in two historical settings when you're doing the Gospels. The author of this Gospel, Mark, writing after Christ, is writing to a discouraged and fearful group of Christians. Christ is gone. Persecution's raging. So they're beginning to question the goodness and the power of God in the face of horrific trials. They're deeply discouraged as they look around and they just see so many who they held up as examples of the faith, and now they're falling one by one, denying Christ in the face of persecution. So Mark writes his gospel. Anyone else ever feel discouraged in their faith? Questioning God's power and goodness? I do every day.
But here's the thing. The emphasis in this parable, we need to get this because some of us are prone to the negativity of things. But the emphasis in this parable is not the negative. It's the overwhelming positive. It's not on the failed seed. It's not on the human response. The main point of this parable is that there will be a superabundant harvest. The last batch of seeds not only yields a harvest, but the Greek here is just, he's calling in every possible extravagant, hyperbolic, exaggerating word he could come up with to say the harvest is going to be super abundant and copious and unbelievable and magnificent and lavish and superfluous. It's just poof. Those who respond favorably, here's the good news. Those who respond favorably to the gospel will far outnumber the small number who do not. Now, we typically apply this parable to evangelism, explaining the different responses to those hearing the gospel, and this is certainly one application of this passage, but it is not the only application of this passage. He's writing to Christ followers. He's not writing this gospel to unbelievers solely. He's writing to believers. And he's saying, this is also true of Christ followers. This is a lesson in salvation and sanctification. This is not just saying why some respond differently to the gospel and some say yes and some say no. This is also showing why some Christ followers that demonstrate more of the character of Christ bear more fruit for God's glory in different seasons of their life. And Christ gives us four seasons of the soul, four conditions of the heart through the metaphors of the hardened path, the rocky soil, the choked by thorns, and the good soil. Four types of soils of your heart at any given season of life. And in any different given area in your soul. You may have some areas of your soul right now that is good soil. You may have some areas of your soul that is hardened. You may have some areas of your soul where it's being choked by the pleasures and desires and anxieties of this world. And so I'm asking, it will do you no good to sit here and hear a sermon. If you want transformation in your life, you need to surrender to the authority of the Word of God over your soul. So I'm going to invite you again to take a minute, silent prayer, and saying, Lord, use your Word today to convict me in any way that I have hardened heart, thorns, or a cluttered soul. So the comments on these four types are both original, and if you remember about 5 years ago or so, we used Ortberg's material on this. So I'm weaving in his best stuff and my lesser best stuff. So in the Middle East, where this is taking place, some of you who are gardeners now or farmers, you get these things way more than what this city boy does. But in the Middle East, conditions were already dry, mostly dry. And the path is the place where the farmers walk. And so here, yeah, this field, path walks, farmer goes out, he's just throwing seed. They weren't as scientific as we are now. Some fell in the right places, some fell in good places, some fell on this rocky path. And this is the condition of the hardened heart, the hardened soul. So the hardened soul, this is a hardened soul. A hardened soul is a soul that has built up walls to keep others from getting too close. Okay? This is the person who refuses to live in the vulnerability and the transparency for close and healthy relationships. You can just have a seat, okay, and just listen to the Word of God, and you can get prayer ministry later. All right, so you got the idea. Are you in any way living with a hardened heart? Are you in any way, have you in any way shut off your heart from people to getting to know you too well? That's a hardened heart. You cannot experience deep transformation if in any way you are put up a wall against people knowing you well. Because transformation requires vulnerability and transparency. There's different levels in this. On the extreme level, there's those who are bitter. They're full of rage. They're attacking. They're cynical. They're suspicious. They're toxic. We probably all know people like that. That's the extreme version of this. Many have just serial relationships. They just go from relationship to relationship to relationship, only getting so close and then backing away. So these are easy to spot. The harder ones to spot are the ones who seemingly have good relationships. They have the appearance of being kind. They're in seemingly healthy relationships. But those that know them better know that they're the ones that never really let you fully in. You tracking? Hardened heart. They never share their deepest sin or struggle or shame or self with anyone. Different reasons why my heart would get hardened. It could be just you. It's the classic thing. I've loved. I've been hurt. I don't want to be hurt again. Boom. Some get hardened through this personal trial or loss or grief or suffering. The classic thing when suffering and sorrow comes your way, you have a choice of becoming bitter or better. Some just simply unrealized shame in their soul, and they're saying, there's no way I'm going to let you know this part of me, because if you do, you will surely reject me. So all these reasons and all these conditions of a hardened, shut-off heart, protected heart, is a hardened heart, and a hardened heart is never a healthy heart. So I ask you again, do you exhibit any of the characteristics of a hardened heart? And if so, this is the year. 2019 is the year of repentance and restoration. So do you have a hardened heart in any way? If so, let the Spirit of God come in and soften your heart and choose this year to pursue transparency with at least one other person. You'll experience transformation. Second type of soul, heart, is the shallow soul. Here's the thing. A healthy soul, a healthy faith journey requires reflective thinking. This is something that is really lost in American culture. You can't be in screen time and have reflective thinking at the same time. The shallow soul feeds only on pop culture and pulp fiction instead of quality literature and music and art. Read Tolstoy this year. Read a good book this year. Look at good art, not memes on Facebook. The shallow soul is the person who refuses to spend adequate time thinking deeply about important matters. The shallow soul is the person who refuses to mature in his or her faith through a deep study of God's word. If you've never been to precepts, do precepts. Yes. If you've never meditated on the word of God, meditate on the word of God. Contemplative spiritual disciplines. If you don't have these in your life, you are not maturing adequately. It is as simple as that. If you are not engaging in meditation and centering prayer and silence and solitude, you are stunting your transformation. A shallow soul is never a strong soul. And so, if you have any of the characteristics of a shallow soul, let 2019 be the year you allow the Holy Spirit to deepen your understanding, your experience of God's character through scripture meditation and study. Third type of soul is the cluttered soul. This is the way Ortberg interprets these things. I like them, so I use them. The cluttered soul. Here's how Ortberg describes this condition. Jesus said that it is the condition where the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the soul. I would say most American Christians, this is probably the number one element, the cluttered soul. Somebody said long ago, says Ortberg, that if the devil can't make you sin, he can keep you busy. Either way, your soul will shrivel. The busy soul gets attached to the wrong things because the soul is sticky. The Velcro of the soul is what Jesus calls desire. It could be desire for money. It could be desire for many other things that we clutter our life. Doesn't matter, but busyness. What are you clinging to? What fills your life that isn't life-giving? Person may be preoccupied with external success or reputation or ceaseless activity or lifestyle or gossip. They may be dead internally and not even recognize it. The world has lots of other things. The cluttered soul is never a content soul. So I ask you again, do you exhibit any of the characteristics of a cluttered soul? And if so, let 2019 be the year when you allow the Holy Spirit to reprioritize your values and your lifestyle. The fourth type of soul is the soul we want. The fourth type of soul is the soul you already have if you are in Christ. It's not a matter of getting what you don't have. It's a matter of releasing more of what is already in you. You already have a bountiful soul. You already have a good soil if indeed the Spirit of God is in you, because the Spirit of God can't dwell in a soul that hasn't been made good soil by the Spirit of God. What's blocking it? What's cluttering it? What's choking it? Bountiful soul bears super abundant fruit for God's glory. The bountiful soul is the soul that is living in daily, deep union with the Trinity through the indwelling Holy Spirit, right? Everything flows out of that. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. As long as you let me pastor you and preach to you, I'll say it 10,000 more times. Everything comes out of abiding in Christ. Period. What do you need to do? What do you need to do in 2019 to every day wake up and before you take your first steps into your day's busyness, get your soul abiding in Christ? That's it. That's everything. You just figure out a way, Lord, show me this year, what do I need to do before I hit the ground running to slow down and get my soul abiding in Christ? That's transformation. Only a soul living in close, vibrant, ever-deepening relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives abundantly and bountifully and super copiously. So do you exhibit any of the characteristics of a bountiful soul? If so, give thanks and praise to God. And if not, let 2019 be the year where you let the Holy Spirit set you all aflame. Christ, all aflame for Christ and King. So, here's some practical stuff. Here's the pathway into such a vibrant, abiding relationship. The law of reaping and sowing. The law of reaping and sowing. Christ says in this parable, you sow on hard ground or rocky soil, or you don't weed and feed that thing, that seed properly, you will not reap a healthy crop. You will reap weeds. Sowing and reaping. Everything. Are you hearing this? Every person and every activity in your life is the consequence of the inescapable law of reaping and sowing. It's as sure as gravity. Reaping and sowing. You will always, 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 always reap what you sow, be it good or bad. We read about this law in Galatians in our opening litany. You sow to your sinful side, from that side you will reap corruption. Things in your life won't work right. Your relationships will be unhealthy. Your career will be unhealthy. Your finances will be unhealthy. Your body will be unhealthy. You sow to your sinful side, you will not might, you will reap corruption. You sow to your spirit man, your spirit woman. You will, can't help it, you will reap life. Zoe, God's abundant life. So you look at your life. Where do I have corruption? Where do I have God's abundancy? What am I doing to sow into that side? What am I doing to sow into that side? You got it? Yes? If you neglect, here's some practical things. If you neglect time in private and public, here there's the five pillars of transformation. Worship, word, prayer, fellowship, service. Worship, word, fellowship, prayer, service. Those are the five lifelong spiritual disciplines, and all the other ones are seasonal. If you are not doing these things, your faith will be weak. If you are doing these things, your faith will be stronger. If you are a Christian and you're not living according to God's principles for your finances, you will reap debt and a loss of blessing. If you need help with your finances, I offer you Elder Don Sanders, who will gladly come alongside and help you learn how to budget. Right? If you are a Christian and you are not aligning up your life, your sexuality, your worldview, your politics with the Word of God, you will not experience, you will not reap the fruit of joy and peace and righteousness in your life. It's so inescapable. It's so simple. And if you're not aligning up your life now with the Word of God, not only will you not reap the full joy and blessing as available to you, when it comes time for eternal judgment, this is the ultimate reaping and sowing. When it comes time for Christ's eternal assignment of your place on the new earth, you will reap what you've sown for your entire life. Does that put the fear of God in you? And if you live the life of sowing to the sinful side and not sowing to your to God's righteousness and good relationships, you can't sin your way out of the new earth, but you'll be granted entrance, but only by the skin of your teeth, and you'll be assigned the farthest minimal job as far from the throne of Christ and the New Jerusalem as possible. One major reason why many ignore the law of sowing and reaping is because we've grown accustomed to things happening immediately, right? Sowing and reaping, you farmer, you gardeners, you put in a seed and up pops whatever you planted. Not exactly. It takes a little time. It's the same with sowing. When you sow to your sinful nature, when you sow to your spiritual side, you don't get immediate consequences. Faith and patience is the rule. But make no mistake, as it says in Galatians, do not be deceived. So he's assuming we will easily be deceived in this law. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whoever sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his sinful nature will from that sinful nature reap corruption, and the one who sows to his spirit will from the spirit reap life and peace. You sow to your spirit, private devotions, public serving. You may not get up feeling much stronger in your faith. You may feel, man, I didn't feel a thing. Don't base it on your feelings, base it on faith. This is why the Galatians says, do not be weary in doing good. Anybody get weary? I get weary. It's like, man, I've been doing these devotions. I'm reading through this whole Bible, for goodness sakes. I'm up to Daniel, Lord, and I can barely feel your presence most of the time. Wow. Am I alone in this? Am I the only, struggler in here? Okay, good. If Mary struggles, we're good. Don't be weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap. Say it again. Use the example of your body, right? You feed your soul, you feed your body, you don't exercise, and you just eat pizza and fast food. What's going to happen? What are you going to reap? Right? This. I always have Santa Claus sympathy weight every Christmas. I don't want him to feel alone. You know, you feed your soul. Nothing but the fast food of worldly pleasures and values and worldly pursuits, you will reap a hardened or a shallow and cluttered soul. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again, so it hopefully will sink in to one of you. Having a bountiful soul is the result of daily, faithfully, persistently, patiently sowing good practices and healthy habits into your life. Will you make this the year that you do so? And spiritual direction fits in with this. This is my central calling now. Spiritual direction fits into all this, because sometimes you just need a little help. It's like, man, I don't see why I'm reaping corruption and not reaping life, because I don't know. It doesn't feel like I'm sowing wrongly. Help. Can you help pray with me? Can we go into the Word and can we discern together what the Spirit of God is up to so that I can break free from the thorns and the clutter and the hardness and enter the bountiful life? So spiritual direction is an essential piece in that. Come see me. You get to see me for free. What a deal. Here's the good news. Really, really good news. Again, the point of this parable is not on the failed seed. It gets through it as quickly as possible. Yeah, he plants the seed and it doesn't work. He plants the seed, the evil one steals it away. And that's a whole other topic. We'll get to that later. The Satan stealing it away, the spiritual warfare component of transformation. We'll get to that. You sow a seed, but he sows seeds. God is sowing seeds, and it will produce this bountiful harvest. And that's the promise of this word, is that if you are in Christ, you cannot help. What does it say in the Word of God? He who began a good work in you will what? Be faithful to complete it. The Spirit of God is relentless. The grace of God is inexhaustible. God is more committed to your transformation than you ever will be. And you cannot escape it. You can fight it. You can impede it. You can slow it. But you can't stop it. Good news. Like I said, I feel as your God-appointed, God-anointed shepherd, if you are willing to submit to that. If you're not, I can't make you do that. But if Grace Point is your home church, what you're saying is, I'm willingly, just like you just made a vow before the presence of God, to submit to the authority of your elders. I'm one of them. So you are willingly saying, Pastor Chris is my shepherd, and I submit to him. And as your God-appointed, God-anointed shepherd, I am calling you to make 2019 a year of repentance and restoration. And so you will reap transformation. Hosea is going to be one of our theme verses for this year. Hosea 10:12, if you want to write that down. Hosea 10:12. It says, sow with a view to righteousness, and then reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Anybody want righteousness to rain on them? Break up the fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. And so how do you need to respond to the Word of God this year? Where do you need the Holy Spirit to break up your fallow ground? Where do you should your soul feel hardened or dry or cluttered, or that God's life choked out? What do you need to commit to doing this year to sow to transformation, to reap glory? I invite you to take a minute in silent prayer, responding to God's Word and preparing your heart for the sacrament. The Lord knows our weakness. He knows we are frail. He knows we are prone to hardness and clutteredness and rocky soil and the evil one to always attack. And he knows it. He knows it. He knows it. He's patient and he's faithful and committed to us. So he's given us all these channels of transformation. Word of God, the five I mentioned. And the other one is the sacraments. This is not an ordinance. We believe this is a sacrament. That means something supernatural happens in this moment that doesn't happen other ways. So the more you partake of communion, the more sanctified and transformed you can become. That is the power of this sacrament. So receive it as such. Receive it as a channel of the Holy Spirit's ennobling, transforming, healing grace into your soul. Let's pray.